Hello. Ah, now that I've got your attention, I'd like a quick word about how Cambridge 105 Radio is funded. Our job is to give a voice to those groups who may not otherwise be heard. That may be our support for local music or the charity of the month. You're wanting to know how you can help, aren't you? Well, you can support our advertisers. And when you use their services, say you heard about them on Cambridge 105 Radio. And you can make a donation. It all goes towards our upkeep. We're eco-friendly, but we do have a bit of an electricity bill. Visit cambridge105.co.uk and click on the donate button. And thank you for listening.
Tess, you're no stranger to this part of the world because you filmed the fabulous Grantchester here, but you're here this week for The Winslow Boy, one of my favourite plays. Now, it's a very simple premise. A boy is accused of stealing a 5-shilling postal order and his fight to gain justice for himself and his family. But it is one of the most beautifully crafted plays that I know. It's got everything, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a really, really well-written play. I didn't know it. I've seen a couple of Terence Rattigan's plays before, and I had no idea he was such a craftsman. And I think it's not just the structure and the emotional content of it, and its intelligence. It's also very, very funny. And I think also he puts things in which you only realise when you're working on it. He'll set something up, perhaps several pages or scenes before, that then have a payoff later, whether that's it might be a comedy moment or it might be an emotional moment. And that, when we worked on it, we realised how cleverly crafted those sort of moments are, which he must have thought about. He must have been very aware of it when he was writing it. So it's been an absolute joy working on it, and it's a joy to perform every night.
You mentioned the humour. I've never seen that brought out quite so well as you do in this production without losing any of the drama or any of the emotion of the piece. And you seem to be enjoying that as a cast.
Yeah, I think we all get on very, very well, which helps. I think it's incredibly well cast, and that helps. And Rachel Kavanagh, our director, I think must have had an eye for that. She didn't ever sort of bring it up, but I think she's very good at her job, and I think she's also brought forward that comedy and encouraged, you know, that side of it as well. I think it's in the writing anyway, but I think there are some productions I've heard that take a more serious sort of tone and concentrate. I think it's partly what you want to focus on. And I think in other productions, perhaps they have focused on the sort of very serious, you know, legal stuff. Whereas I think Rachel wanted it to be very much, well, lighthearted, some of it, but also about family. I think she felt that was really important, that not only is it a story about a boy and the justice and the legal side, it's also about an ordinary family struggling to support their son and watch the family altering during the course of the play, and indeed what must have happened in real life to the real life lad, that, you know, there are costs to these things. And if we do put our necks out and say, well, actually, we are going to, you know, fight this, that does have a cost. And I think in The Winslow Boy, the play, the cost is on the other members of the family, actually.
Your character, Grace Winslow, who is Ronnie's mother, she's a really interesting woman because she doesn't have any of the power props that some of the other people have. She doesn't have the natural authority of the head of the household, your husband. She doesn't have the legal arguments of Robert Morton or even the radical energies of her daughter. The only thing she's got to help is her love for her son. But there's a wonderful moment in the play when he is being cross-examined and he turns to you for that comfort, which makes her quite a quietly powerful character.
I think she's incredibly powerful, as I think many women are in family environments. And as you say, yeah, she doesn't have any of those other things going for her, you know, in life or in the play. But I think what she does have, as well as, yes, the love for her son and the protection that as a mum she feels, she also, that love isn't just for her son. She sees the entire family being altered. And that love, you know, in the only scene just after the interval where you do actually see her fighting back, if you like, and getting emotional, is because she sees the cost on the others, not just on Ronnie. She sees the cost on her daughter. She sees the cost on her other son who's had to leave university, you know, and sees that this could actually possibly be dealt with in a different way where the family wouldn't have to lose quite so much and things could go back to normal. So it's a balance of her weighing up, I think. Does she stick and support her husband, as she probably should as a wife in those days? Or does she put forward her case that actually she herself and the children are also suffering. And she sees that her husband is becoming iller and iller as the case goes on. And that, again, as someone who loves her husband, you know, she can see that happening. And I think she feels it is her duty to point out things that she thinks he's not seeing. And that's why that argument comes about, which is the only time in the play you ever see them at loggerheads, actually. The rest of the time, we've worked out in rehearsals, we think they've got a pretty good marriage. But that's the only time where you see him saying, no, I want this. And you see her saying, yes, but the opposite side of it is this. And again, that's Rattigan's cleverness, because you think it's one thing with this woman, Grace, and then he'll turn it again and just show you a different side of her, which again is a brilliance of a really good playwright.
And there aren't any one-dimensional characters in it. I mean, even Violet is wonderful, the maid who's so often, you know, that role is so often sidelined. Or Dickie, who on the face of it could so easily just be superficial, but the sacrifice you mentioned. And there's a poignancy, I think, when you read in the programme notes that the real Ronnie Winslow, that cadet, then went on to die in the First World War. So when Dickie is talking about the big scrap that's coming, that he wants to be involved in, that's one of those things that Rattigan has laid down that you mentioned.
Absolutely. And I mean, it is interesting to think that the characters in the play, if they were real human beings, you know, all those lads in the play probably under 35, they'd all be dead within a few years. And it is very poignant. We went to the memorial stone for the real Archer Shee lad. And there he is. You see his name there a few years after the proper court case, you know, the original court case. And it is quite shocking to think that, you know, there were an entire generation of boys of the age of the Winslow boy just wiped out. And it's quite a shock, really. And also the father in real life died as Arthur Winslow in the play, you know, gets iller and iller. Well, in the real story, you know, that man was dead, I think, within about 6 months of the court case.